officers as below average and marked a few as failures. Thinking no doubt of how his own administration would look in the backward glance of history, he resented the whole process. With real feeling, he said, no one has a right to grade a president, not even poor James Buchanan, who has not sat in his chair, examined the mail and information that came across his desk, and learned why he made his decisions. This book was conceived in the spirit of President Kennedy's observations. In tracing the life of Abraham Lincoln, I have asked at every stage of his career what he knew and when he had to take critical actions, how he evaluated the evidence before him, and why he reached his decisions. It is, then, a biography written from Lincoln's point of view, using the information and ideas that were available to him. It seeks to explain rather than to judge. My biography is based largely on Lincoln's own words, whether in his letters and messages or in conversations recorded by reliable witnesses. I have tried as far as possible to write from the original sources, that is, from first-hand contemporary accounts by people who saw and talked with the president. Of course, I have consulted the voluminous secondary literature, but I have used it chiefly for letters and documents that I could not find elsewhere. My approach was made possible by the availability of the Abraham Lincoln papers in the Library of Congress, now fortunately on microfilm. After use by Lincoln's authorized biographers, John G. Nicolay and John Hay, in 1890, these papers were sealed until 1947, and therefore could not be consulted for the major biographies by Albert J. Beveridge, William E. Barton, Carl Sandburg, and J.G. Randall. Author's footnote, this was true of the first two volumes of Randall's Lincoln the President, published in 1945. Professor Randall was able to make some use of the Lincoln papers in the third volume of that work, subtitled Midstream, published in 1952. Richard N. Current drew heavily on the Lincoln papers in completing the final volume, Last Full Measure, which appeared in 1955. But the basic structure and themes of Randall's magisterial work were selected before the Lincoln papers became available. Back to the text. The results of my inquiries can most readily be defined in negative terms. This book is not a general history of the United States during the middle of the 19th century. I have stuck close to Lincoln, who was only indirectly connected with the economic and social transformations of the period. It is not even a history of the Civil War. There is, for example, almost nothing in the following pages about the internal affairs of the Confederacy, because these were matters that Lincoln could not know about. It is not a military history. I have not described campaigns and battles that Lincoln did not witness. I have not offered a broad philosophical discussion of the origins of the Civil War, and I have not addressed the question of whether it was the first modern war. These are important subjects, but they did not present themselves to Abraham Lincoln in any practical way. I have not asked whether Lincoln freed the slaves or the slaves freed themselves because Lincoln never considered these roads to emancipation as mutually exclusive. Certainly he knew that thousands of slaves, in individual heroic acts of rebellion, were leaving their masters to seek freedom behind the Union lines. But he also knew that ending the institution of slavery required official action on the part of the United States government. In focusing closely on Lincoln himself, on what he knew, when he knew it, and why he made his decisions, I have, I think, produced a portrait rather different from that in other biographies. It is perhaps a bit more grainy than most, with more attention to his unquenchable ambition, to his brain-numbing labor in his law practice, to his tempestuous married life, and to his repeated defeats. It suggests how often chance or accident played a determining role in shaping his life, and it emphasizes his enormous capacity for growth, which enabled one of the least experienced and most poorly prepared men ever elected to high office to become the greatest American president. More important, this biography highlights a basic trait of character evident throughout Lincoln's life, the essential passivity of his nature.